Jeff Stein's our national presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books at Common Good Books in St. Paul, totallyiowa.com as well. IowaWatch.org is the public service show that he does down in Iowa quite exceptionally. And, of course, he joins us from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hey, Jeff.
Well, the problems are solved. The EU has solved the tariff issue with the president. Everybody go buy soybeans.
Actually, no, I don't think they have yet. I was listening
to
it.
Well, they're standing there. They're telling us they are, Matt. Are you being skeptical in some way?
Well, what they basically so you're saying to me the EU standards were that basically Trump, we had to go back before Trump put the aluminum and steel tariffs in. So Trump has agreed to undo the aluminum and steel tariffs? This is like a lot like North Korea. I mean, we talked North Korea. North Korea, Korean Peninsula was solved. We didn't have anything else. They're expanding their nuclear program. And they're not even meeting with us to return North Korean veterans' remains at this point. So, no, we're basically back to square one. Now everyone's like, oh, well, the EU is solved. Well, all right. One, that's part of the problem. But two, did he really concede on the steel and aluminum tariffs? Because that was the sticking point. That's the last I saw.
Well, yeah, he did. So this is why it's never a dull moment. Here's Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, before Congress today, literally conceding, using the word conceding, we have an awfully long way to go on North Korea. Meanwhile, at the White House, the president now says the U.S. and the EU have agreed to work to resolve the U.S. tariffs on steel and aluminum. There will be no further tariffs as part of the trade talks. The head of the EU said, I came here for one reason, and that is to get a deal, and we got a deal. And, they've agreed to resolve the issues. Well, what in the blazes does that mean?
Let's break this down a little bit, because once again, I think there are some things that when we talk about the ag sector, I mean, this $12 billion that Trump threw out there, which is basically spitting in the wind. I mean, last I checked, Chinese tariffs on U.S. ag alone were like $17 billion. So it's not even covering the Chinese trade, and that doesn't include Mexico and Canada. And we can put EU aside for the time being. But Canada, Mexico and China are our two biggest meat exporters, and China's our biggest soybean exporter. So, you know, that's $12 billion is nothing compared to when we look at the amount of tariffs that are being imposed here. But clearly, the pressure is being felt by Republicans back in their home districts as they're trying to do some of this summertime campaigning. And I think that's a lot of this is coming from this, is that if you don't get off this tariff fiasco immediately, you're going to cost not only the House, but you're going to cost another 100 seats in the House, and we're not going to get it back ever again.
Note also what's been happening this week. I'm just going to add to what you're saying. I'm not disputing. Yesterday, you had the $12 billion trade aid bill or measure. Here's $12 billion for the farmers to make up for the problems with the tariffs. Well, that's nice, except farmers are among the most independent people that you will ever find. Some of the best people you will ever find, but also some of the most independent people. They don't want aid. They want markets. They want the security of a market, and they're going to be very hesitant to take a handout when there was no need for the interruption in trade to begin with. But that comes down yesterday. This EU, maybe the soybean thing is resolved today.
With the EU,
what states will the president be visiting tomorrow? And if you guessed Iowa and Illinois, you're correct. So it's very clear he's coming out here, and he doesn't want to have to hear about how much he has stuck it to farmers. So you throw some money at him on the one day. You say everything's resolved and soybeans are going to come flowing into Europe the next day. Then you come to Iowa and take your victory lap. I mean, that is what they're doing. I mean, it's not a coincidence.
Well, but here's the problem. Here's the two problems that they have with this whole thing. One is he even serious then about the EU thing, or is he just basically trying to make his, you know, so he doesn't get his boo-boo feelings hurt when it comes to Illinois and Iowa? And then the other thing is this, and this is the one thing I've been interested in. With that $12 billion yesterday, I was reading soybean producers, beef producers, pork producers all put out statements saying it's a fine gesture and all, but for God's sakes, get rid of these damn tariffs. Trump trying to take a victory lap. These farmers already seem to say is, don't take a victory lap when you're the one that basically is the reason why this is caused. And I don't know, you know, tepid anticipation. And granted, I mean, where he goes, there are always a few people who are fervent Trump supporters. But when you're going into these areas where, you know, the farmers have supported him, I don't know if that support is there. And I got to believe right now as well, considering the big question is China. And Trump seems to be hell-bent on basically ruining those trade relations, whether or not that this is going to be enough for them to sue that over. It's not like when he did with the steel and aluminum tariffs, then went all the steel-producing areas and said, look what I did. Didn't I do a good job? That was right before the trade fiasco began.
No, you're absolutely right. And there's a difference between – this is self-evident, but apparently it needs to be pointed out to Washington. There's a difference between the ag sector and – the steel industry and that manufacturing sector. This $12 billion is designed to make up for losses because of all of the tariffs. Now, most analysts are now agreeing that, okay, so China's not buying any American soybeans. That's fine. We can sell them to Brazil later, but it's going to be at less on the dollar. We're going to get much less for it when we shift trading partners. This money is intended to, in essence, make up that difference. But again, the problem is it's short term. It is not part of a long-lasting solution. And that's why it suggests a failure to understand the individuals who voted for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I mean, it might be okay in, you know, New York business circles to say, okay, I'll give you money, that'll be fine. How about we just give her money and she'll go away? Do you see a pattern developing here?
Well,
okay, so we'll give the $12 billion. There, that'll make them happy. Well, it isn't about the money, per se. It is about the way of life. It is about the certainty. And just because you made up the difference monetarily this time doesn't mean you're going to again, and it's going to alter these trade patterns that take generations to establish and the stroke of a pen to ruin.
Well, and I want to bring up something you just mentioned, too, that mm-hmm. is – and this is the modern Republican, primarily Trump, but also the Republican Party's failure to understand the evolving geo-platform that's out there. The Chinese have been in Africa for the last decade, recruiting relationships, building trade partners, while Trump basically calls them blank hole countries. When you talk about what markets are open to us if China goes away, and you say Brazil and Argentina are massively tearing down their own forests to plant as many crops because China's buying as many crops from them now, and so is Mexico. They're basically opening up those doors. The real developing market should have been Africa, and there is tremendous potential there. But because of – and this is pre-Trump but also Trump – failed understanding and respect for the dynamics of the global markets and where the emerging markets were, the feeling was those markets are beneath us. Meanwhile, China went in. China is right now on the verge of turning, you know, Africa into a prime trading partner with themselves, which is going to benefit them tremendously. While we're here sitting here going, well, Brazil, do you have to tear down all your forests? Could you take some of our soybeans? Because kind of that's like trying to ship soybeans back to ourselves at this point. And there's a failure here to understand the complexities of the ag markets worldwide, and this is why you can't have someone who's short-tempered and looking for quick fixes running trade policy.
I have no problem with the concept of America first, as in you need to take care of yourself. However, that does not mean isolationism. It does not mean cutting off your nose to spite your face. Because again, it is not a real estate deal in Brooklyn where there's another building down the block. So when this one falls through, you just take your marbles and go home and do another deal. This is a much more intricate and interrelated deal situation with so many different partners. And again, ignorance of Africa. I mean, this is the kind of thing that is staggering. We complain about the inroads made by Russia and China in other places. Well, it's because we didn't do it.
Exactly.
And if we didn't do it, then shut up about missing the opportunity. It's sort of like, gosh, Matt, I didn't buy stock in Apple 35 years ago. Gosh, dang it, I missed the boat on that. Well, it's my fault.
Well, and I mean, I remember Obama screaming at McConnell and Boehner back then, saying, "For goodness sake, send our trade delegations over there." And they were basically saying, "There's no point." And you're like, "Oh my God!" I mean, it was just, yeah, that's a disaster. Tell you what, one last question on this: what's the chance after he gets back from Iowa and Illinois, all of a sudden he starts saying to Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz, "Nope, we're going to put the tariffs on your car."
Oh, what's the chance he's going to do that? Probably pretty good, because he wants to. I mean, you know, going to a steel mill in a place called Granite City, Illinois. I mean, talk about coming out of central casting. So he's going to be emboldened by that visit and then come back and start tweeting a new policy. Because, again, it's whoever talks to him most recently. And I'll tell you briefly, in interviewing U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, who's been there a very long time, you know, he has had some criticism of the White House with regard to renewable fuel standard. I put it to him straight up. Is it a matter that you go to a meeting with him and you feel that you've gotten your way, and then somebody else meets with him and it completely flips, and he basically listens to the last person he heard? And the response from the senator is, yeah, that seems to be it. Well, holy cow. That's not a good way to run policy.
You're exactly right. He wants to put those tariffs on them. So I think this is all just a dog and pony show. We'll find out. I tell you what, when we come on back, let's talk the Cohen tape. Jeff Stein joining us. Once again, find his books at Common Good Books. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This week, Connections Radio Show will be doing a part two radio show at 10 a.m. We'll be featuring Fearless Comedy Production. This group encourages, empowers, and educates new artists and existing talents and explores the limits of comedy while striving to create a more diverse and inclusive environment. We'll be chatting about the upcoming Fringe Theater Festival and doing radio theater. Tune in this Saturday at 10 a.m. to hear Big Fun Radio Fun Time here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Summer is the season to clean. For roof, siding, garage floors, decks, and more, Blue Sky Services can help you out. Anything that can be power washed, Blue Skies can safely soft wash. A power washing alternative that doesn't damage your home. So don't wait until it's too late and you need to replace things. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484. And tell them that you're an AM 950 listener to save up to $100 in July only. That is 651-447-4484. Call now to save on July services.
Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
It's grilling season, and Vinaigrette has some sizzling recipes to inspire you. How about summertime grilled fajitas? Just create a marinade with our golden balsamic or champagne vinegar and chili garlic or jalapeno olive oil and marinate beef or chicken. Add red onions, red, green, and yellow peppers and throw them on the grill. Or try grilled steak brushed with our truffle or garlic olive oil. Visit us at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior, or online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein joining us, talking politics here on a Wednesday. Jeff, the Michael Cohen tape was released to CNN, and it's pretty clear. Once again, what Trump is trying to do is separate the tape from everything else and then try to rewrite what's said on the tape and say, see, I'm innocent. The reality is, this tape is part of a case with Michael Cohen testifying about mindset and what exactly they were talking about at the time of the conversation is pretty damning evidence against Trump, as even Napolitano on Fox News said, at best you can say there's a fraud case, whether it's civil or criminal, we'll have to determine. But there's a fraud case going on here where he's talking about paying off the National Enquirer's parent company to buy off Karen McDougal's story and not publish it before the campaign. But numerous legal minds are basically saying, well, this actually goes a little bit further and talks about, campaign finance violations and also, presents a very serious legal jeopardy for the president. Your thoughts on the tape, because, you're a smart legal mind, too.
Well, I have a law license. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. Whether it's smart legal mind, we'll find out here in the next 5 minutes. The fact that it's Lanny Davis representing Cohen just makes this even more bizarre, because Cohen has apparently decided that it is time to flip. And so he's going to get a mouthpiece who's very good on TV, who is tied to the other side of the political spectrum, and is savvy enough to say, we released this tape only because the president has been saying things that are contrary. So we simply want to show just enough to show that he can't just keep talking smack about Cohen. The thing that is going to be the hook here, Al Capone murdered people, but he was imprisoned because of tax evasion. This has to do with the campaign finance stuff. Right? Because if, in fact, there was, and I'm sorry, 45 years, did you see this on Twitter? 45 years ago this week, the cover of Newsweek magazine was a picture of the White House with reel-to-reel tapes on the different wings, because this is when the Watergate tapes were coming out. And so the parallels are striking, because I can still hear Richard Nixon, when he's told they need money, to say, we could get that. This is what you're hearing here. Mm-hmm. He's talking about calling our good friend David or whatever his name is. So in other words, some rich guy trying to pay a publication to spike a story. That's not criminal. But what about in-kind contributions to campaigns? What about paying money in an effort for a campaign to advance a campaign and not reporting it? That's where, again, it's always the cover-up. Rich guy calling the National Enquirer saying, don't run a story and I'll pay you a bunch of money, that's nothing. I mean, it's sleazy, but it's nothing criminal. But campaign finance laws are very different. And again, Cohen knows everything about Trump. So when Trump says, what kind of lawyer would do this? A guy who knows who his client is and was trying to protect himself.
You have Rudy Rudy Giuliani's your guy. What did he say on Laura Ingraham's thing? Is like, don't quote me on that. So I'm like, oh my God. We're at the point. I mean, it goes back to the line he said yesterday. And I think that this could be one of the most bizarre lines ever conceived to be said by a sitting president. And what he said at the VFW, just remember, what you are seeing and what you are reading is not what's happening. That if that isn't the sign of pure desperation, and like I said, we can go back to the ag stuff. I mean, I think the pressure was on him to get something right so that when he goes to this rally, it's not about Karen McDougal and it's not about imploding trade markets, that he has something. It's not about Vladimir Putin or the North Korea failures. It's not about, the fact that this entire administration seems incompetent to the core. It's the fact that he has something that he can try to champion himself with. The reality is that this guy is – this is the reason why Rudy Giuliani is there, is no one else wanted the job, because you will literally have to look like a complete idiot to defend the guy at this point.
Well, and again, going back to what you said, what kind of a lawyer would do this? His.
Yes.
Because he knows who he had as a client. Cohen did the recordings as a preservation effort for himself. He never dreamed that they would be seized or used against him in a prosecution or any of this. He recorded them for self-preservation. 30 years ago, I knew a lawyer in Iowa who recorded every phone conversation that came into his office. Now, Iowa was a state we called a one-party state. Only one party to the phone call needed to know it was being recorded. So, like, for example, if I call you on the phone, I can record it, and I don't have to tell you. Now, what I do with it's a different issue, okay? But now, see, you're in Minnesota, I'm in Iowa, now we're across state lines, whole different issue. But that lawyer, who was not terribly trustworthy, said, I do this to protect myself. Well, what was Michael Cohen doing? He was recording Trump because he didn't think he could trust Trump. It says much more about Trump than it does about Cohen.
Now, it does, and let me ask you, I'm going to say the obvious here. We've got about a minute left here, but this is the obvious. Isn't really what the real problem for Trump with Cohen is not what's on these tapes, but what Cohen knows that he can now convey to prosecution to try to get off and get a better deal?
Well, sure, but we don't know what that is. That is the danger. You're exactly right. We don't know what that is. And the thing that's weird about these payments is, I mean, let's face it, Trump supporters knew what they were getting. And they didn't care. They were willing to put it aside because they didn't want Hillary Clinton. Would they have put it aside if it was Joe Biden or Bernie Sanders or anybody? I don't know. I can't. But here's the thing.
Russians wouldn't have.
He's going to all of these. Again with the Russia. He's going to all these lengths to pay off porn stars, in essence. And people who voted for him didn't care. They know that he's a philanderer. They know that he hangs out with these kinds of people. They didn't care. They voted for him anyway.
Yeah.
They still don't care.
Well,
they're campaign finance issue.
They don't. They care. They care. They're just not willing to admit they basically made excuses for him before they voted for him. Jeff Stein, once again, find his books at Common Good Books, totallyiowa.com, Iowa Watch, and, of course, KXEL. Thanks, Jeff. We do appreciate the time today.
Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.